Sometimes you want to laugh. For all the other times, there's this.
Connect to the Wi-Fi from next door. Cause you know it's time for the Ash Kip and Lutzy podcast.
106.9. Wow.
Friday morning.
Ew.
Did you just get a cramp?
Yeah.
I saw you go down during Mitch's sport.
Is that what happened?
I wasn't sure what was happening.
I would have been shot. I was swimming this morning, Ange.
Yeah.
And right at the end of the set, they call it Fast Fridays.
Oh, yeah. You got to belt it out to a sprint.
He wanted to do a 100-meter time trial. And I've pushed off. And I got about 15 meters down the lane. And I've had a calf cramp before, but I got both calves cramped.
Oh, you seized up.
And I went down, because you know you have to straighten your legs out. And I went down and I was holding my two calves out. And like
at the bottom of the pool.
At the bottom of the pool. And then I realised, I've got to go up and breathe. But to breathe, I needed to let go of my, because I needed to push off the bottom. And I got into a mad panic.
Yeah.
And thank God Mel stopped. He was coming down the other lane. He stopped and cradled me like a baby. And I stayed in Mel's arms.
Who's Mel?
He was swimming in the other lane, but he was coming back the other way. He just stopped and honestly cradled me like a baby for about a minute while he stretched out both my calves.
That is pathetic.
It was literally pathetic.
Dobbin and Jobber, 13 24 10 is our number. If you've got a jobber to nominate.
Dobbin and Jobber!
Dobbin and Jobber, let's go. Kevin out of Dacca, going to get us started. Who's the jobber, Kevin?
I'm the jobber, boys.
Okay.
I had a bit of a jobbery day on Wednesday. Started by putting a beam up at work and didn't put enough nails in it, so it fell on top of me. And then I dropped my $1,000 nail gun 3 stories to the ground. But to make matters worse, after Smoko, I got up and stood on my sunglasses and had to deal with the brightness of the day for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. The glare.
It was some magnificent sunshine on Wednesday.
It was horrible.
It was glorious.
That's a day. Quite a day.
Yeah, that's a shocker.
Drop a beam.
Luke, Narangba. Yes, Luke.
In that got hurt. Yeah. All the stuff that he did.
Yeah.
What do you got, mate?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, mate. Bloke from work. Boss just bought $1 million premises and renovated it upstairs. Jobber at work thought he'd go upstairs and cut the hull liner, which is meant to be done with scissors, with a knife, and cut all through his brand new carpet.
Oh.
Completely through the hull liner, through the carpet, and left it all cut up.
You got scissors for that? Nah, I got a Stanley knife. That'll do it.
Check this out.
Yeah, straight through.
Straight through. Beautiful.
Oh. Donna, yes, who have you got? Is it a self-norm?
I'm jobbing in my partner, Andrew. He's a motorbike instructor and he went to a motorbike event last night, comes home and broke rule 101, got off his bike, put it straight and slid straight against the exhaust pipe, and now he's covered in burn, catching the burn team, blocked. So yes,
as an instructor, you think you would know that that exhaust gets hot and you shouldn't put your leg on it.
Yeah, you think, being an instructor, maybe. Rule 101.
Might be a first rule. Nice.
Liam.
How you going, guys?
Hey, mate.
Hey, I'm nominating the missus here. We were driving down the road and there was a sign out the front saying, small engine mechanic required. And I said, there you go, darling, there's a job for you. And she said, but I'm not small.
Oh, God.
I'm way too big for that gig. I mean, thank you. I have been dieting, but, but I'm not ready.
Yes, Paul.
Morning, boys.
Finish us off, mate. Morning. What do you got?
So, firstly, would have loved to see that this morning, Ash, you and your special moment with Mel in the pool.
Yeah, it's a beautiful moment. Yeah. Very intimate. Mel's in counselling.
Wife nomination, boys. So we were heading overseas and had to have our dog looked after. So I said, I'll get my best mate, Matt, to look after it. All right, wife, off you go. Get a dog tag made up with my dog's name, whose name is Messi, with Matt's phone number, should I say. So
Dog
escapes. We can get off to Matt, and whoever finds him can call out his name and give Matt a call while we're away overseas. So comes home, brings the dog tag home, Matt's phone number on it with Matt's name on it. So Matt now has the dog tag on his key for a permanent reminder. So if the dog escaped,
yeah,
it was getting called Matt.
I've got your dog, Matt. Well, he's got dog tags now, should he ever need to go to war.
Yeah, that's right.
Sandy?
All right, so we've got Kevin, who had the terrible day with the nail gun,
hell.
The
yep.
Sunnies, the beam. Luke, who's...
carved up the carpet.
Oh, the carpet, the Stanley knife. Donna, whose husband is the bike instructor and burned himself on the exhaust. Liam out of Warner, whose missus thought she couldn't be a small engine mechanic.
She's too big.
And Paul there, his wife... thought the dog's name was Matt or something.
That's not a bad feeling.
There you go.
Well, I enjoyed Kevin's day of misery.
Yeah.
That was the first one?
Yeah.
Kevin, yeah. It was layered.
It was layered.
And nobody died.
Yeah, well done. Well done, Kevin.
New beauty, boys.
That's a good prize, mate.
Yeah, we've got...
awesome.
Got tickets for you and three friends to Moonlight Cinemas. There's advanced screening of... blockbusters under the stars at Moonlight Cinemas, and also the Maroon gift pack for the family as well, mate. So well done.
That's awesome. Thanks, guys.
Nicely done. All right, let's do this. Brand new Ed Sheeran.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Just came in at midnight.
Mate, should we do should we open up the phone lines again too and do a quick spin it or bin it?
Yeah, see what you think. It's called How Would You Feel? Brand new Ed Sheeran.
The one girl, and you know that it's true.
Ash, give him Lutzy.
Tell me that you love me too.
How would you feel? Brand new Ed Sheeran, I dropped at midnight last night.
Let's go around the room. Kip.
So, my only answer is spin it or bin it. I'm going to say bin it. I think it's great, but slow.
No.
Too slow.
I'll say spin it. Yeah. It's Ed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, look.
It's Ed Sheeran.
It's going to get spun regardless. Yeah. It's not like it's exactly. Not like this is a referendum here. No. It's going to get spun.
It'd be a great first dance wedding song or
that's
something
exactly
like that.
That's exactly what I
thought. Yeah.
Too. Yeah.
But I don't know about hearing it every 3 hours or whatever.
Hey, Beck, before we get your spin it or bin it, where the bloody hell's Doola Dilla?
Next to Forest Lake.
Oh, okay.
Did I pronounce that right?
Doolandella.
Doolandella, is it?
Yeah, Doolandella, that's correct.
All right, what are you doing? We're playing spin it or bin it.
I'm so binning it.
Binning?
You're binning it.
No good.
I was very bored.
Thanks, Beck. Ken from Kangaroo Point, spin it, bin it.
Burn it, guys.
Burn it.
Yeah.
It's a new category.
He's up the stakes.
Bill, Castledine, spin it, bin it, burn it.
Matey, Valentine's Day is over. Don't need any more sappy, more crap on the fucking radio. Just bin it.
All right.
Dale.
Hang on. Dale's got the spin
Dale.
It.
Dale.
Dale, yeah, Dale's dropped out, but we did have a spin it there, and we've got Jedi
it.
Dan.
Jedi.
Against Ed Sheeran. But, yeah, not every Ed Sheeran song is a hit, mate.
Not every Ed Sheeran song is a hit?
Almost.
That's an interesting
idea. Yeah.
I'm in the mood. I'm in the mood. So you're saying Bennett, Jedi?
Yeah, it's Bennett.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely Bennett, mate.
Yeah. I'm in the mood to gamble.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone want to take me on? That song will go number one. And I will, because I'm in a loose mood Friday.
Yeah.
Do a, what are some of the things we've done? Gambling over the years. I've had my hair permed.
You got a perm.
I have.
Nostrils waxed.
Yeah, I've had my belly button pierced.
The back sack and crack.
I've done the back sack and crack.
Yep.
God, what
do you,
what,
do you I've lost
been
a lot of bets.
I've been thrown out of a plane. Yeah. I got thrown out of a plane. Yeah. Remember some reason I got thrown out of a plane? What have you done, Kit? What bets have you lost?
I don't remember losing a lot of bets. I don't know if I
must
have lost
a lot
of bets.
If you were losing them all, we must be winning them all.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
I've had my hair permed.
Remember, I bunged on a performance because I didn't realise perm stood for permanent.
Yeah.
And I thought that it would go out after a wash.
He kept saying, it's just, all they're going to do is put curlers in it and then it goes away. I go, it's a perm.
Did you know that a perm
No, I never thought of it.
All right, but I reckon that'll go number one. And not, I reckon that will go
on
number
one. On the iTunes, what is it?
Well, what's the official thing that we go?
Aria.
Aria.
Probably the Aria.
iTunes.
Or iTunes. We'll go with iTunes, all right.
And I will put up, I'll put up another belly button piercing if someone wants to take me on.
Ooh. Would you get one through your...
No.
What about your nipple?
No, I'm not doing a nipple.
Well, you want to take it, Blasio? I don't want
anyone?
Because if I lose, then I've got to do something.
Yeah.
No,
you
I don't
go on.
I don't think it will go number one. But...
We'll go on.
God,
come on!
What?
10 years ago, we were 10 years ago.
What are you doing?
I'll get my belly button pierced.
And if you add if it
that gets that's a stupid thing to do. That gets infected for years.
You know
that actually does. I've known people
you don't have to keep it though.
I saw something. Yeah, but if you take it out, I saw someone that took it out and thought, I wonder if that hole's still there. And they put a pin through it the other day, and a big bit of black crap came out of where the. It's disgusting.
Yeah, go to the news. All right.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
I had fun this morning when I pulled into the little driveway up the side of the building. Well, I went to pull in. I had indicated from the street, and I saw Maddie, who does all our Facebook and everything. She was walking along. And she was about to go past the path, and she wasn't looking back. I've got to run her down. She didn't look back. But anyway, she was looking forward because Coochie was pulling out. He couldn't find a park. And so then they've started doing a thing where she's like waved her arms up like she's
what are you doing?
Furious, and then he's giving it back. And then I was feeling left out, so I went, man, got on the horn. And I was like, hey, like, I'm throwing my arms up there. Everyone's arms everywhere. Coochie's upgraded from arms up to finger.
And everybody in the neighbourhood's awake.
Yeah. It's great fun if you, unless you live here.
Well, we're all having fun. And then I realised across the road, there was someone walking their dog and they had just stopped and they were just looking, staring, just going, this is amazing. I'm about to see someone get beaten to death with a tire iron. They had no idea.
I thought you were going to say it was the bakers over there because I heard a very blue conversation coming out of there this
from
morning.
The bakers?
Yeah.
Really?
Talking about somebody's misses and...
Anyone would think you're getting out of your car to do something.
He's going to get out.
You're probably right.
Find his Mexican fighting stick or whatever it is.
Yeah, that's right. I'm a Maasai warrior stick. Yeah,
I wish that the bloke walking the dogs, that the dogs were vicious and he picked sides. And
sick that bearded guy.
We need to talk to Coochie in a second because it's his last day today. Need to relive some of the lows.
Oh, really? We don't have to, guys.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Cooch is in the studio with us as well. He's been our producer for how long now, Cooch?
Yeah. I've been here 6 years. I think I've worked on the show for two of those.
Mm. Oh, that all?
Like, almost two.
Oh, sorry. We thought it was bigger than that. You can go now.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, cool. Thank you.
You're getting married in a couple of weeks.
No, next weekend.
Next weekend?
Yeah, next weekend.
Far out.
Yeah, so
and then... Straight after that, you and your new wife are moving. You're leaving Australia and you're moving to Vancouver, Canada.
We are. So this Friday, I leave here. Next weekend, I get married. And the week after that, we fly out and move countries.
He's been with his missus since what grade what?
I was grade 10 and she was grade 12.
Yeah, that wow. Photo. How did you pull a grade 12er in grade 10? You think about that. That is unbelievable. Nobody pulls a... No bloke
Did you see the photo?
I've seen the pictures of them at school. I didn't realise like she was 2 years older.
Looks like a dark sort of kid.
What do you mean a dark
kid? Not ethnicity. I'm just saying...
like he's got I know what you're saying. Like
you've
he's
got that sort of
grunge.
Grungy kind of thing. You must have had something as a kid that you were like, yeah, man.
Were you rock and roll? Were you in a band then? With
me, I was.
I think you would have had that whole scene going on. Like, and Lutzy, like a tortured sort of genius type of thing.
Yeah. Should we talk to him in the yard? No, we can't talk to him.
No, leave him.
He's probably writing a song.
Yeah.
He's probably writing a song. Take the guitar to school.
That's how you get a grade 10 kids out there right now. That's how you get a chicken.
Yeah. No, he's got the gift of the gab too.
He would have been. I mean, pretty impressive for a grade 10 to pull a grade 12.
grade 12 chicks.
I doubt that there's another bloke that would be listening to us now that in grade 10 was able to pull a grade 12 up.
Yeah.
Or that would be the biggest age differential in high school that a bloke could pull, like someone in the same school, like you wouldn't get a grade 9 or pull a grade 12er.
No.
No.
Well, like bloke?
No.
You know? That wouldn't happen.
Yeah, reverse, you might.
You may have the world record, Cooch.
It didn't go down well with her grade, I don't think.
Excuse me?
Oh, really? Oh, they would have given her, they were all given a lip, were they?
No, they'll give, no, all the guys in her grade weren't particularly fond.
Yeah, but when you're dating, when you're dating Kurt Cobain, I mean, no one's going to fight after that.
Did you go to the formal and everything like that?
We weren't allowed.
Really?
To be in the same grade.
Because I took a girl I never met who was in grade 10 to my formal, so I did a reverse willy.
Yeah, but that's sort of the typical thing. Like a guy would take in school, would go, yes.
Go to grade 10 chick.
Mm. Yeah, I don't think that's that unusual.
Mm. A little bit.
Yeah.
It's a little.
Because I've never met her.
It's a little.
How old were you?
Your mum set it up.
Well, coming up after these, we just need to relive some of the moments with Cooch because...
how are you going to do it? Because there's only mostly your spelling errors.
Yeah, it's pretty much just that. So we'll do that next.
Great radio. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Cooch, it's his last day today. He's been our producer. He answers the phones and tells us where people are from, what their names are, and he often gets it wrong.
Daniel, out of Bribey.
Oh, easy, quick.
He spelled Bribey, B-R-I-B-E-Y.
Makes it look like there's corruption reigns on Bribey Island.
Ben, are you Cornubia, mate?
Yeah, mate, that's me.
All right, it just says Corbinia on the phone from where Cooch is written. But I'm starting to be able to understand.
You can speak Cooch.
I can speak Cooch, yes. Katrina, out of Corn... You're going to see the way he spells it. Cornubia, Katrina. Cornubia. I'll spell it out. K-O-R-N-O-O.
Jesse out of Kalanga to kick us off. Morning, Jesse.
I'd like to hear How Bizarre by OMC.
I'm loving that Coochie put it in here as Hell Bizarre. Oh, man, that's Hell Bizarre.
Hell Bizarre.
Oh, man. I couldn't believe what happened. It was Hell Bizarre.
We're going to miss you, Cooch.
Spell Dacobin.
No. Ash,
Kip and Lutzy. I might be the only one in the room that's interested in this story, but I'm going to bring it up quickly anyway. When I was a kid and I grew up at Hervey Bay and we'd always go over to Fraser, there was Brumbies on Fraser Island. Like Brumbies, wild horses on Fraser Island. They'd scare the hell out of me as a kid because you'd hear these stories about the Brumbies.
Yeah, Brumbies were prominent because I remember before the Brisbane Broncos were named, I was hoping they'd be named the Brisbane Brumbies.
Were you?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Now, I grew up with a real fear of the Brumbies because you'd see them at Fraser and they're dead set. They're wild horses.
Yeah.
I think of it, they're like completely wild horses.
Yeah.
Anyway, they were eradicated off Fraser. They've been taken off Fraser. Turns out they've got these motion cameras. They've got 35 motion cameras on Fraser Island that they use to track dingoes.
Yeah.
For dingo surveillance. One of them's picked up a Brumbie.
No.
The last Brumbie was seen at Fraser, I think, that they were taken off in 2003. And now, what are we, 2017? Yeah. So how does that happen? Like, how does the Brumbie... Like, I go to Fraser all the time. You hardly see a dingo these days.
Yeah.
And a Brumbie has been living...
Well, you know,
somewhere
on a hermit.
Somewhere hidden over there. Yeah.
A little cave he lives in.
And he hasn't come down onto the beach. No one's seen it.
Yeah.
And one of these motion cameras has picked it up. I think that's a fascinating story.
Yeah, that's
incredible. How do they get rid of the Brumbies? Was it like that they introduced the cane turtle?
Yes. There's a Brumbie fly they brought in. It's very annoying to humans, it's turned out.
The Brumbie whisper.
I think the Brumbie fly came out of a big gun.
Yes.
Oh, really?
Oh, I don't know.
Now the
that's fact now. You've said it. Ash, Kip and
Lutzy. Yes. What are you doing here, Mitch?
I am a really proud... I think sorry, guys, just sticking around, just chiming in. I think, Ash, my boy James, he's 4 now, and he's getting to that stage, you know, where his personality's really starting to come out. And, like, you know, we have a good laugh in this show. I didn't pick up too many great traits of my father, namely the ones that I would have loved on the sporting field. So I haven't got much in that sort of way to pass down to him, but he's starting to show some traits that I think that it's definitely come from me.
Yes.
He went to kinder yesterday. Now, it's good at kinder. You know, they practice all the safety and all that sort of stuff. So if you don't wear a hat, can't go outside, can't play.
Ah.
And so I've picked him up on a Tuesday. And
like a hat.
A hat, like a big hat, like a big bucket
that's
hat.
That's good. Sorry, I thought you were saying a safety hat.
No. No, just a hat. So
hard hats.
Hat.
That would be good. He can't go in and he can't go out, and they've said, no, you can't go out. He said, okay, And he said, well, here, wear a spare one. He goes, no, I'm not wearing a spare one. I'm wearing mine.
Fair enough.
He said, well, you can't go outside. You have to stay in the shade. So for the most of the day, just stayed in the shade. As the sun moved throughout the day, he just stayed in the shade. And
brilliant.
The teacher got jack of it and said to one of the kids, go and ask him to come play. You're his best friend. Goes and asks him to play. He goes, okay, well, you come over here, mate, and we'll play in the shade. I'm not allowed to go out there.
He's like,
really?
Susie,
here, take some toys.
A stickler for the rules.
Yeah. Take some toys over. I'll take some toys over. No, he's not interested. Here, go and ask him if he wants a treat. And he comes over. He says, no, I'm not. Oh, I'm going to stick here. This is what I've said I'm going to do. And I'm like, this is the stubbornness that I show in
brilliant.
My personality
yeah, great.
That I can really be proud of. And I have been stubborn because just play this because one bit that I know you've told me before, Ash, and I haven't listened, but this is one piece of advice you've told me.
As a father of three, I can tell you that two is enough.
Yes.
No, I haven't listened.
No.
Oh, no. You're not What's about happening? To make a big announcement.
What's happening?
I think you've just revealed it. Yes, Sarah's pregnant.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
We're number three on the way. Sorry. And you know what? Like, I know we like to laugh too that I tell you guys nothing about what's going on behind the mics and I save it on from here. And I apologize to everybody. This isn't the right way to do it. But I live for that moment where you realize, especially when you've told me for the last, I think you even offered to give me a snip the other week.
I did.
Live on air.
I did.
And,
yeah. Yes.
So I thought, you know what?
Scissors out.
I'll save that then. I just want to see your reaction. Yeah, we're going for round three. So
wow.
It's all happening.
And what do you know so far? Boy, girl, nothing yet?
Nothing. Okay. So, well, it's only early days, like 12, 13 weeks at this stage.
Oh, so you've been sitting on this for a while.
Yeah, I found it pre-Christmas, just before Christmas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. See, and Sarah found it the 23rd of December, and she's like, I couldn't even hold on to give it to you as like some kind of, you know, reveal Christmas present thing. So
she told you straight away.
Yeah, couldn't help herself. So, we were stoked. But then we were down with her family, which, you know, we only get to see every couple of months. And then we had to hide it from them. And James, God love him, you tell him we've got a secret, don't tell anyone. He immediately goes to the person he's supposed to keep it from and tells him he has a secret. This is the only thing he's ever kept. So he kept it.
He did keep it.
He did keep well it. Done. So, God love him. But,
oh, that's great. Congratulations.
Yeah, good
very,
on you.
Very cool. So,
when's she due?
August 29th at this point. So, but yeah, it's starting to weigh on her. She really wants to find out because we obviously want to go for a girl. That's a dream. We're not going to be, I mean, we've got two very different boys, so we're not going to be disappointed
heart,
if we get a third one.
You had your heart set on Huey Lewis, didn't you, for the name?
Yeah. Well, that was a fight I kept fighting and I kept losing it.
And then he could be just like his papa can be on TV and you could have Huey Lewis in the
Lewis
news.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
It's the dream.
Sarah, you listening? That's at the top of the list.
Ash, Kip and Lassie.
Mitch, will you find out the sex of the kid? Because, and I'm being serious here, because when we had Archie, we didn't find out with Levi and Sid, but Jodie was so desperate, like so desperate for a girl, that we actually did find out we were having a boy because she went through a bit of a like a grieving process, really, because that was it for us. We knew three was it.
Mm.
But are you going to find out? Because you've said before you might even go four.
We have talked about
you lunatic.
Yeah, we've talked about four for a while. I don't want to. We didn't for the first two boys.
Yeah.
And Sarah actually made it so that no one told her what it was. It had to be me. So and with Luke, I actually helped deliver Luke. And so I had to sort of flip him around and and I thought he was a girl for a second. So I nearly gave her all that hope. And
so he's like dad.
I would rather not. But she's getting on. She said to me last night. She said, you want to find out this time, don't you? I said no, and she swore at me, which I can't repeat now, but right. So I don't want to, but
you might.
She might.
She
want
might.
To,
yeah.
Which
she
means
might
you
force
will
me.
Find
yes,
out.
Yes.
Oh, good on you, Mitch.
Yeah, mate.
That's enough, though. Three's enough.
Three's enough.
Two's enough. Three's definitely it.
I think Sarah's making that call.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
We've got Chris Chaney and Phil Jamieson in the studio.
Hello. What a
good
thrill.
Morning.
We've got the lead singer of Grinspoon, the lead singer of The Living End.
Chris.
And they're both in town, not for either of those reasons, but for a musical.
Yes. Right. We're playing at QPAC. Chris starts on the
23rd.
23rd.
Is the first night.
Yeah.
You talk it like it's theatre sports. It's like it's a Broadway hit,
it
American
is.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Now, I've not seen it on Broadway anywhere, so I can't wait for it to hit Brisbane, but last time I watched a doco once, and this is the last time I was aware of this. I remember the band members of Green Day. Of course, at that point it was going to either be the story of Green Day, the band, or a story not about Green Day, which featured Green Day music. So which way did it end up going?
Yep.
Well, Chris.
A few
people have said to me, "Why have they made a musical about Billy Joe?" And it's not about.
Yeah, right. Okay.
It's not about them. It features the music from American Idiot and some of the music from 21st Century Breakdown, which is the record after that.
Right. Okay.
And the songs are sort of intertwined with a storyline, like a narrative going through it about one character, really Johnny, who's like, you know, small sort of town in the Bush era of America, or the Trump era of America, however you want to look at it, trying to break out and trying to find himself, basically.
Did you guys know each other beforehand?
Oh, we've known each other forever.
Yeah. I gave Chris his first ARIA Thank award you. In 1998.
Did you really?
Wow, we're going back to 1998. Highest selling single for Prisoner of Society. And at the time, I'd kind of rubbished the band in the press, as I did back then, because I was a brat.
Well, you were rivals.
Well, I mean, not rivals. I was just being a jerk.
Yeah.
Why did he hate him? And I liked his band, but he didn't like me or my band.
Wow, really?
Do you like, Chris, when you, like, with something like this that has been, you know, so popular, do you sit there and listen to the songs, say, from the US? Or, like, is it just as an artist, do you sit there and go, okay, I want to stamp my own seal on this?
There's not a lot of room for interpretation, but there is. The thing about this production is the director's been kind of like, he knows that we're not from musical theatre, so he's quite happy to sort of work around us in a way. But the songs are the songs. You're not going to sort of change the melodies too much. But hopefully we both bring a little bit of what we do to the role and to those songs.
There's so many moving parts as well. So if you miss a certain spot, you stuff everything out. So, no pressure, though.
Yeah. Is that difficult? Because you weren't part of bands that needed choreography as such, were you?
But when you were performing, you
could be wherever you wanted, and now you've got to hit marks, as you said.
Well, there's only three people in my band, so there's a lot of room on stage. And we keep bumping into all these actors and stuff. Get off my stage.
This is epic. It speaks for itself on Broadway and West End. I mean, this has been one of the biggest musicals over the last however long it's been overseas.
Great for people that don't do musicals, I'd imagine. If you don't do musicals, this is a good way to get you in.
This is different.
It's a gateway musical.
Yeah, because it's going to have good
it's
music.
It's a gateway musical.
What does that mean? All of a sudden you're doing the sound of music.
Yeah, next thing you know, oh my God.
42nd Street, you're there.
I was singing in the rain. What's happened to me? But to plug it, we have no idea, boys. We want to do a little something called the Posting Olympics here, which is where, you know, old school, you blokes have been around radio stations long enough to know that people love talking over the intros to songs right up until when the words start. They like to post it.
Yeah.
Right, so we've got to plug our show. That's what we're doing. We're plugging American
In the
Idiot.
Intro.
In the intro only.
I'll give you something, Chris, with a bit of space. You've got like 20-odd seconds.
All right, this is Chris from The Living End here in sunny Brisbane, and this sounds like a promo, but it's not. It's just me rambling aimlessly while I'm on the air, and it's a lovely place to be, and I've got no idea what I'm talking about. But...
That's right.
You mentioned the show once. What are we here doing? We're selling tickets for American Idiot. Okay. No one cares it's sunny.
All right, here you go, Phil. This is your chance to do it properly, Phil.
Oh, God.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Phil on 106.9 Nova driving you home. We are coming at you live at QPAC for February 23rd, American Idiot the Musical. Chris Cheney and I are sharing the role. Get your tickets now at QPAC.com.
Oh my God!
How good.
Just Amazing. A problem, you didn't tell us what the temperature was.
Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you so much.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
So we had Valentine's on Tuesday, and I remembered having a conversation with you, Ashley. We talked about how how you don't do Valentine's because it's a big crock and it's just something that's invented.
Yes.
By card companies and whatever else.
Commercialized.
You don't need special reason to show love.
No.
You do it any other day of the year.
That's it.
And I agree.
What a real lover does.
Yes, I agreed wholeheartedly. And then on, but it was still after the show, I went home and Amber had baked me a beautiful banana cake.
I haven't had one in years. Yeah.
Was that a Valentine's?
It was. Oh, yeah. Like she got up early in the morning.
Amber doesn't even eat banana cake, she said.
She made it just for Kip.
Well, yeah. Kip does.
Kip does.
Amber knew that and she went out and bought him, made him a banana cake.
It was delicious. And the day earlier, because we don't drink milk, right? We only ever have soy. And there was milk in the fridge. I kept going, what's this milk for? She's like, oh, don't worry about it. Oh, that's weird. But she bought milk because it's one of the ingredients, So she got out of the cake.
Can't you use soy milk in banana cakes?
No, apparently not. Anyway.
Seems strange.
It does seem strange. Now we've got half a litre of milk. Anyway. But so she made that. It was delicious. I got home. I said, oh, this is so nice. Thank you, And then, and that was it for the day. We had that work thing that night. And then on Wednesday, it was a little bit weird. And a bit quiet, and I said, what's going on?
I can tell something's wrong.
Something's wrong. Yes. No, I'm fine. No, something's wrong. What's happening? And eventually, eventually you get
Well, I'm just wondering, why didn't you do anything on Valentine's Day? And I said, well, remember, we had that big discussion about how it's not a real day and we don't care about it and we don't celebrate.
We agreed
that it's not a thing.
Ah, yeah, and you didn't agree with her with that.
And Amber goes...
It was Ashley.
No, we didn't. We didn't have that discussion. I said, yeah, we talked about it. She said, no, we didn't. I've gone... Actually, that might have been me and Ash.
Yeah. It's very weird that you can't decipher between the two.
I thought it was, you know...
You know what I find funny about this?
We're all in on it.
I find funny that what you're essentially saying is you mistook me for Amber.
Yeah, exactly.
And I am so complimented by that, but I'm also so amused because I can just imagine the flip side is Amber's at home now listening to this going... You confused me with Ashley?
That bloke.
I mean, it's my life partner. Spent a lot of time together. I just thought, so
she's not happy?
No, she's good and she's coming good. But
she's coming good.
She's coming good. It's bloody 3 days later.
She's like a hamstring injury.
Another 4 to 6 weeks.
She's back in one or two.
It's a niggling injury at the moment. Ash, Kip and
Lutzy. I'm just having a look at this, that story that you told, Ange, about the politicians and the fact that they're losing their free entitlement to fly now once they retire.
The golden ticket.
Did you have any idea that this was going on?
This is the only reason why I ever thought about campaigning one day.
Yeah.
Well, that was interesting to me the other week, because remember the other week I was going, who would want to be a politician? And you said... Oh, man, have you seen the perks that they get?
So many, but not so much now.
Well, this is... Yeah. Retired politicians are no longer able to enjoy free flights, but they're not just free flights, Kip. They're free business class flights.
Oh, really?
Free business class flights.
Yeah.
The PM, Malcolm Turnbull's moving to AXA Perk, which has been prized by pollies but despised by the public. They've had this Gold Pass travel card, and it's going to be scrapped immediately, where, I guess, what do? They can just hop on a flight and fly business class.
Anywhere.
And
what, anywhere?
It can't be international.
I'm pretty sure it's domestic.
And it's a plus one, right?
It's a plus one.
Yeah.
It's a plus one. So you could
two business class tickets anywhere.
You could be a politician for, effectively 5 minutes. And then have this for the rest of your life. Yeah. Can you imagine that? And the fact, what annoys me is the fact that they got away with it to begin with.
Yeah.
That they've gone, we only give you, like you think of any other job in the world, any other job where you can go, okay, now one of the things when you do this job, when you do this dopey radio job that you're doing now, okay, once you leave this job, we're going to give you free business flights. For the rest of your life.
Yeah. What if I leave in a year?
It doesn't matter. You'll get free business flights for the rest of your life and a plus one.
What if I do a terrible job and everyone hates me?
It doesn't matter. Now, put that to a vote. Who votes yes?
I make it personal.
And they've all voted yes. Say all in favour, say aye. I agree with that.
Wow.
That is unbelievable.
Is that the best of them? Best of the perks?
The news is today that they're saying that they're just scrapping it.
Thank goodness. Good on them for scrapping it. How long they've had it for.
How filthy are they, these pollies, that our Prime Minister just happens to be a multi-millionaire?
Yeah. It has no effect on him whatsoever. He's a platinum freak on flyer. He gets upgraded every time he flies anyway.
And the only person who gets to keep the perk now are former Prime Ministers. Mm. They get to keep the perk. Malcolm Turnbull's gone... Even though I still get to use it, I won't be using it. He's probably got a private jet. Like, it doesn't matter. But I can't believe that they got that off the ground to begin with. Like how much money must that cost us? You think about your taxes. Like you think about how hard you work, and that the government comes in and just goes bang. Okay, which is fine. We're all in a community, that's cool. But you think probably for my entire life, my taxes have been used to fund one bloke who was a politician and his partner to fly business class in Australia. Yes. And he probably did nothing when he had the job.
It is ridiculous.
That is absolutely ridiculous. Don't start me on the royals. Remember their weddings? Oh, I had some figures the other day, I'll tell you.
Really?
Unbelievable. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
Yeah,
Yeah, just quickly, I know I've just said about the Royals. There's a story in 2014 that taxpayers pay 56 cents each for upkeep of the monarchy, so that's not too bad. But the Will and Kate's wedding cost about 30 mil. But then in modern terms, I saw this the other day on the E! Channel. I'm very busy.
yes.
In modern terminology, if Princess Di and old mate got married today.
Princess Di, yes.
Princess Diana,
yes.
Charles.
Yes, yes, yes.
110 million.
That's what it would have
That's
cost.
That's what it cost.
Oh, wow.
So where are they pulling that money from?
I don't know where they get their money from.
It's Crown land, you reckon?
So well, I know that, yeah, you see... You know, big chunks of land, and they go, that's Crown land, and I never knew what that meant, but that means the Queen owns it.
We don't set, like, even though, like, we're a part of the monarchy, and this is not a political show if you've just tuned in, but do we send money, like, does Australia give money to the royal family, like, each year? Like, do we go,
I don't know.
There's your bit for the union.
Yeah.
The jack.
Yeah.
Here's your bit.
No, do we?
Or? I don't know.
All right.
I feel like...
We would get into it. We're talking GST after the news.
Ash, Kip and Lassie.
Well, if you're watching Married at First Sight, which apparently a lot of people are, it's become the juggernaut of the summer.
It beat My Kitchen Rules.
Yeah, it seems to be the one that anyone's talking about. It's about this at the moment.
And then now's my television show I was talking about yesterday going, best TV show of the year. It's the best thing I've seen on TV.
That is?
No, that David Attenborough show. Remember I was going on about that yesterday?
Yeah. How'd the numbers go?
Awful. I was the only one watching it.
Awful.
I was the only one watching it.
They took a decade to film it.
Yep.
Oh, no.
72 photographers.
That's upsetting.
18 editors. $7 million worth of equipment, and you're the only person that watched it.
Well, they reckon, just sorry to derail what you were going to talk about for a second, but they reckon, Kip, but you know we were talking about the footage of those iguanas running along the beach and
the snakes
coming out and chasing it?
Yeah.
Had you seen that?
Yeah, we all watched that like months ago.
Mm.
They'd let the cat was out of the bag.
Right.
Like that was.
Why did they do that?
That was their number one thing because
we put it on our Facebook page. Yeah, Ash, let's see if I'm sure like
Channel
ago.
Yeah.
Channel 9 bought the show off the BBC. The BBC showed it over in England, like I think last November. I might have these dates slightly wrong, but it's about right.
Yeah.
And so then it went viral in England.
Yep.
And it seems like Channel 9 sort of sitting on their hands because everyone had seen it, and so no one tuned in to watch it again.
Yeah, that's hard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But in 13, 24, 10, if you can share what on earth is happening in this show now, because I'm trying to watch it.
Married at First Sight.
Yeah, Married at First Sight. It's in the news. Cheryl, who was the one that's been the major, she's in the paper today because she's done something. I don't know what she's done, but it's something, some video from years ago, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But I just don't understand. I tried to watch it yesterday, and they're all sitting around a table. And again, if you're watching the show, you can explain. I don't understand. They don't live together. It's not like a reality show like The Block where they're all sort of living in a room together or in a complex.
Yeah.
Why are they all sitting around investing in each other's lives? I don't know why they care about each other.
Mm.
Why does Billy and Freddie or whatever...
Like the other couples
going, well, you're a bitch. And I don't understand why that's happening. Mm. Why do they care?
Apparently they still live in the same block together.
They do live in the same block.
Yeah, I think they all moved in together in Sydney, and then they have weekly dinner catch-ups.
I still don't get it.
I'm still
watching it, but I don't understand.
In any one of these shows, they always have like the prize. Like if you're in Big Brother, you win.
Well, you win the love of your life, I think it's the only real prize.
Yeah, there's got to be something more.
No, that's
not. Is there a money thing? Like, there has to be a money thing. Because wouldn't these people presumably have jobs that they're leaving to go and film this?
No,
it often doesn't seem like it.
Love. That's all they're after.
Yeah.
If you're joining this show, this Cheryl chick is she's a Gold Coast hair salon assistant manager. From what I'm led to believe, he hangs out at the Candyman's house a lot.
Yeah, I take.
So she's got a bit of time on her hands.
I reckon that there's some rubbish in the paper because it says that she's 25, Kip.
Yes.
And that she has been, and I haven't watched the show. I watched 5 minutes of it. And, I mean, I tried, but I can't get
it. You should have stuck with it.
But it says that she's been partying with the Candyman.
Yeah, hosted by the Candyman and Hugh Hefner.
And Hugh Hefner's 140
according
at this
to
point.
Women's
like,
Day.
She's 25. Like, she hasn't partied with Hugh
Not
Hefner.
Not with Hugh.
Where's the proof that she's partied with Hugh Hefner?
Yeah. She's not met Hugh Hefner. But, I mean, it is... I mean, you've got to understand this. I don't know what the show's about. It's not about love at first sight. It's genius because it's not about marriage. It's not about anything.
It's got you hooked.
It's got me hooked.
It's got you hooked.
You've got runaway brides. You've got this chick who's switched partners and... Now there's a video and there's all sorts of stuff happening and it's fascinating.
And there's kids in the car right now going, I want to party with the Candyman.
Where's he? They're not alone. Ash, Kip and Lutzy.
So as far as I can work out, given that the show is not really about Married at First Sight or anything like that, I mean, the premise is that there's only a couple of characters that are really fascinating on this show for whatever reason. So the point is that you can create, just it could be a show called, like, Farmer Milks a Cow.
Yes.
It doesn't matter that it's just about a farmer milking a cow. If the farmer, you know, is interesting.
And cheats on the cow.
Cheats on the cow. And ends up marrying Gary the Goat.
Yeah.
Then you're going to watch it.
Got yourself a TV show.
So that's
right
a TV show. Right? That's what's knocking off the kings of television at the moment. Yeah. This is the new number one hit. It's just a couple of loose gooses.
Who would have thought it'd be more interesting than watching people cook? It's incredible. Ash, Kip
and Lutzy. When we lose someone, you're relatively close to our heart.
Today.
Yep.
Lutzy, I guess it's working. A case of... time to say goodbye.
Scott, I honestly do not still know if your name is Couchman or Coochman.
Yeah, can we sort this out now
that
you're leaving?
It did change halfway through your tenure here.
It never changed.
I don't know whether people are taking the mickey when they say Coochman or your name is... It's spelt Couchman.
Yeah.
How do you actually say your name?
My name is Scott Coochman.
So it is Coochman.
Coochman. So why didn't you correct me? Because ever since you started...
I called you Couchy
for ages and you didn't say anything.
Well, I just... I don't know. You don't really listen when I speak.
Who do we meet? We probably met your brother first, did we?
Yeah.
No.
Who started working here first?
Me.
And then your brother started working.
Yeah, Mitch started afterwards.
But he was more helpful to you. So
he was. He fixed stuff.
Because we used to be able to say, you're the hardest Mitch in this place.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
I remember you said that once in front of Mitch Lewis. It was very... It was mean, actually. Still accurate, but mean.
So this is it. So this is what are we playing here?
I've just got Semisonic underneath, you know,
So we'll talk to you, but then for the chorus, we'll just...
So where are you going? Off to Vancouver in a couple of weeks.
Off to get married.
Childhood sweetheart.
Yep, next weekend to my fiancée, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. And then about a week after that, we pack up. We fly to Hawaii for a honeymoon for a week.
Yep, so good.
And then to Vancouver where we have a car rented.
Waiting for you.
And an Airbnb for a week, and that is as far as we have planned.
So will the marriage be consummated in Australia, or will you wait for
Hang
the...
on, chorus,
wait,
chorus.
Wait a second.
Who I want to take me home? I know who I want to take me home. I know.
Where will the marriage be consummated? Will you do it in Australia? Because you'll go like...
That's
three,
a very good point.
Like that'll be a marriage that'll be consummated like thrice in thrice different countries.
A question without notice.
Yes.
If your child...
Let him answer that one first.
Okay, go. Consummated.
Yes. In Australia first.
Just for you, I will consummate that marriage
in Australia.
Wherever I can.
Okay, question without notice. When you have your first child and it's born in Vancouver, is it Canadian or Australian?
Ah, that's a good question.
We're going to have children here. We'll be obviously for a while, but we'll come back to that.
Okay, so it will be Canadian or Australian?
If we had a kid born in there, it would be
Australian.
Chorus! No, you've gone early.
You went too early.
But now.
Okay. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. I know who I want to take me home. Take me home.
So when do you leave? If we ask this question,
I've done that already. Yeah. And how many people? Is this a small wedding, isn't it?
Yeah, there are 45.
45.
48.
Yeah.
And so roughly how many times do you reckon you'll consummate it in Australia?
Or we don't ask how many times.
Yes.
Yeah. So you'll be working bars, doing crappy work?
Doing crappy work, studying some web development so I can work from a laptop eventually.
Living on her coin, really.
He's doing crappy work. I know. Still thinks that is better than working here.
Yeah, exactly.
No 4:30 alarms in Canada.
Yeah.
Well, Cooch, it's...
I mean, I don't think we're going to get another chorus now that I remember it. Yeah.
Why not?
I think
that's it now, isn't it?
I think it's just this that sort of just ambles in.
Take me home.
Why do they have to be three choruses?
What? I can't hear you.
Thanks, mate. We miss you already.
Every new beginning comes from some other beginning's end.
Ash, Kip and Lutzy.